Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. All my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen. What? Young folks, I'm here today by the grace of God. And if not, the Bible says, for by grace, not by work, but by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we ought to be glad today for the grace of God. Amen. We should not get too comfortable in this world. We're just passing through. We're looking to a home on the other side. Amen. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you, young folks, let me tell you today, this is a good man of God right here. You have a good preacher and a good pastor. I guess you're a chancellor probably, whatever that means. I don't know. Amen. But you have a good man of God here to help lead you. He's for you. Brother Aaron King, he's for you. Your song director, he's for you. By the way, it's great to have somebody call to preach and show up while you're preaching at camp. Amen, brother. And God validates who we are and what we are by the results before God ever calls us home. Amen. God is for you. God wants you to make it. God wants you to do good. And God is fighting a good battle by the Lord Jesus Christ that you can survive in this world and make it for the glory of God. It can be done. Young folks, you have this year, by the way, I'm sorry. My name is Ron Talley, and sometimes I forget that. And I'm very honored to be at Hiles Anderson College. I appreciate Pastor John Wilkerson and he allowing me to be here. I realize the importance, the weight of what I'm doing right now. I have sat where you sit. I have been taught what you are being taught. I didn't learn it, but I have been taught what you are being taught. Hiles Anderson College was a blur in my life, but I have no doubt them 5 years prepared me for the next 40 of the ministry. In times like this, I wish I was a better preacher. I wish I was a better teacher. I wish I had a better vocabulary that you might get what God has for you. Amen. You prepare today for what's going to happen tomorrow. And it'll be vital. It'll be vital. Storms are coming. Your life right now is at its simplest form. It's only going to get more complicated. And you ought to learn all you can learn. Enjoy all you can enjoy. And I know I don't remember. I see Brother Ray Young back there. He's my hero. And I used to watch him at college and admire him. And I don't remember Brother Ray very many sermons in chapel. Probably that was my fault. I was probably too tired or too sleepy. But somehow I believe God done something in my life in them days to help to make me what I ought to be. And I would like to help you. I know that I'm just a gray-haired old preacher. I'm not sure why. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Why you'd be so kind to me, your young people, and dear Slayer Daniel, good to see you back there. And I see your daddy back there, Brother Bill McSpadden. Good to see you today, sir. And I preached with Brother Bill a while back, had a good time. But I thank you for your kindness. And by the way, I'm aware that probably everybody gets a shout every now and then from you, and I'm glad. I want to be a help to you today by the grace of God. I enjoyed church last night, and I enjoyed chapel and church ed yesterday. I leave church ed today and go to the high school, the bus high school, I believe, with Brother John Francis. I enjoy being here, and I pray that God might touch and help you. I can barely see that clock. I think it says around 11:31 or something. I'll run back there and get it in a few minutes. But you heard that story. This man, the local church was meeting, and They had meet and greet, offering songs and so forth that we've had this morning. The pastor got up to preach. And while he was preaching, one of his good men got up and went out. He watched him go out, wondered why he left, but he kept on preaching. A little while, the man came back in and sat down. The pastor wondered if everything was okay, and he got done preaching, gave the invitation, went out to the back door to meet and greet. And while back there, this man came through, and he said, "Hey, brother," he said, "where'd you go during preaching?" He said, "Sir, I went and got a haircut." He said, "Why?" He said, "I didn't need one when you started preaching." "Oh, you missed that, didn't you?" He said, "Why'd you go out?" He said, "I didn't need a haircut. Why? But you preached so long, I had to go get me another haircut." Amen. I promise I'll get you out in time. I'll get you ready for church ed, your next class. Hey, wouldn't it be fun to preach through church ed? Somebody say amen. Nah. Woo! Up. Amen. Hey, did it? I should have done that yesterday, not when the pastor was here. Amen. But anyway, God's good. Amen. This year, Brother Ray, it'll be our 40th anniversary. We graduated in 79 and 2019. Been 40 years since I graduated. Easy now. 40 years. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I'm going to give you my sermon is going to be introduction, then the closing will be my sermon, but I hope you'll get it when I get done. And I'm going to try and help you. Yesterday I spoke on what did God get when God got you. I pray that God got him somebody who will love him and serve him and work hard, and that God will get a good investment. He gave his son Jesus to die on that whole rugged cross and shed his blood for you and I. And y'all, on May the 27th, 1973, you said, "Brother Taylor, you keep saying that. That's because I never got over that." Amen. Now, your preacher's right. You ought to be very careful with your music. That rock and roll will grab a hold. But you probably don't listen to rock and roll anymore. I don't know what you listen to. That stuff that goes on at Walmart, I can't understand a word they're saying. But I remember the first time my young folks got on the van. We were going to the nursing home. About 10 of them got on with me. They do every month. And they had an iPod, a little thing in their hand, and earbuds. And I said, "You know what? I think you ought to put that away till you come back to the church. I don't know what you're listening to." But that music will get you. But all my, from the time I was about 11 or 12, 1965, till God saved me in 1973, I lived in a rock and roll, dope-smoking, motorcycle-riding world. And I never believed that God would ever do anything great. Never hardly believed in God. Had no amazing grace, no friend in Jesus in my life. Then on May 27, 1973, I went to an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church. Pastor Carl Stewart preached that night on Calvary. I thought he knew somebody. I told him I was coming to church. I sat right down in here. He gave an invitation. I came forward and got saved. And the night I got saved, they took my name right there. And in them days, preachers, they didn't have robes and towels ready. We were just learning all that. Dr. Hiles taught us that, by the way. And he said, "We get running, get him some clothes. We'll baptize him." And I said, "No, sir. Baptize me in what I got on." I got up, went to a little room, took my shoes off, took my wallet out, my keys out, and climbed in the baptism with the clothes I wore to church that night. I was serious about getting in. Amen. Hey, look. When you get in, it really makes a difference, young folks. When you decided, by the way, I believe you're here on purpose. I don't believe we're just passing through. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't run. Just stick with the stuff of God will see you all the way to glory. Amen. And I got in that night. In a matter of a few hours, I was teaching the class. I became a deacon. I drove a bus and taught junior kids. That was all in the first 12 months of my salvation. I was so glad to be saved, I wanted to go work in a nursery and sing in the choir. Amen. And you ought to be glad that God saved you. I never got over it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says, to everything there is... I'm going back up. At music, I'm 66. I can be walking through a store somewhere, and they can play. By the way, we listen to really great groups them days. The Beatles, the Monkees, the Crickets, really great groups. Sometimes I even wonder what we was thinking, amen. But I can walk through the store, and that music will play, and I'll find myself singing a song that I learned when I was 15 years old. And young folks, guard, the battleground will be in the mind. If it was here, it'd be a whole lot easier. But it's not, it's here. And it goes everywhere you go. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Fight the good fight of faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You can trust him all the way to glory. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. May I say to you, you don't have to know where you're going to be in 5 years, but you ought to have a purpose. You ought to find you a bus route. You ought to find you a soul winning class. You ought to find you a class to teach, a place to preach. And when I was a college student, and I'm just all over today right now, I'm glad to be here. When I was a college student, they had School of the Prophets, Brother Vineyard, and all the guys got to preach. And I started preaching upstairs at a UPS, started preaching upstairs at Blahnox. And every chance I got, I tried to get my a chance to preach. Now for 40 years, every week of my life, I've been preaching on the street. And I like it. I enjoy it. Now, it's not always popular. Everybody wants to kill me, but I still enjoy it very much. The folks at church, hey, preach, I'm going to go with you. They go about twice. I ain't doing this no more. But anyway, I've been doing it. And you ought to find you a place to serve God and to serve your purpose that God has saved. There was a price paid for you to have a purpose to serve God. Very quickly, the Bible says, a time to be born. And I was born at a very early age. Now, I'm not sure. I was told that, but I was there, but I don't remember it, but I was. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, that's when you get married. A time to refrain from embracing, that's at Hiles Anderson College before you get married. I had a student here, Brother Ray. Y'all sent him home. He didn't call me until he got home. By the way, today he's pastoring a church down in Georgia, doing a great work of God. And I said to him, I called him by name, and I said, Brother, he was in Sunday morning, he just rolled into church. He rolled in real quietly. He come on in, and I called him by name, and he met me, and I said, why are you at home? You on break? He said, long break, preacher. I said, a long break? I said, why? He said, I got too many demerits. I got shipped, and I'm at home. I said, what did you do? He said, I kissed a girl under the stairwell at church. I said, glory to God, brother. If you got to get shipped, you sure chose a good reason. Amen. He said, preacher, you ain't mad? I said, well, yeah, I'm mad, brother. You ought not be breaking the rules. You ought to keep the rules. You ought to obey. By the way, the more they obey the rules today, the better be better for you tomorrow. So you ought to obey the rules, but, whoa, God's good. Anyhow. I'm looking to see if anybody's still with me. Young folks, God will give you an opportunity, and God will take care of all that. And obey the rules. They're here for a purpose, and they're here for a reason. And you ought to park properly, too. The preacher's right. You ought to have some character. Character starts right now. And what the Bible says, a time in verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose. I hate losing. Can't stand losing. A time to keep and a time to cast away. I keep thinking I'm going to go out of that, but I'm way down the road, and I still weep when I lose and still want to fight. I don't because I'm a Baptist preacher and I love God, but I still want to. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit are he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Look at me, young folks. All of you. He has made everything beautiful. This hounds me regularly. I'm real surprised that I got invited back after last year and the sword and everything. But I really want to help you. I have no desire to entertain or put on a show. I want your life to be helped. I want your life to be changed. When I was a student, and I've been preaching 40 years, and most folks still don't understand everything I say the first time around. That's why you're looking at me like that right now. I'm constantly reminded to slow down, enunciate my words. The reason I've been at my church so long is because nobody else wants me, and I like it that way. Amen. All the folks in my place, they're comfortable with me, and I'm comfortable with them, and I like it. The Bible says you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. Young folks, God made you just the way he wanted you. And he made you one of a kind, and he made you special. And you ought to thank God he made you the way you are. You ought to thank God he made you who you are. And you ought to get off of God about this, that, and the other, and enjoy what God has done, and go do something for God with what he gave you. Amen. Amen. I often run my words together. I have a slight speech impediment. I'm told that irregularly everywhere I go. Doesn't much bother me anymore. I'm way, way down the road. I've heard everything you can hear about being discouraged. I preached at Brother Sammy Allen's in Resaca, Georgia. 250 preachers there, 2,000 packed out. I walked in the back door, Brother Sammy Allen said, the Prince of Preachers just came in. Come up and preach for us. I got up and I preached, whose fool are you? When I got done, I hadn't been back there in about 20 years. I'm a church builder, amen. When I got done, I went to the cafeteria and a man came by and he said, hey, Tally. I said, yes, sir. He said, God said the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching. He told me that. I said, yeah, that's why I was preaching and you weren't. Amen. Amen. I met a man recently, and he said, I saw you preach at Hiles Anderson College. I said, yes, sir. He said, how come you get to and I don't? I said, because I can preach and you can't. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's just the way God made me. And you let God use you. You let God touch you. You let God help you. I'm running out of time and I ain't got nowhere near where I want to go. Young folks, I'm going to introduce a sermon. I'm going to give you four things that time will never change. Time will never change. You can write them down if you'd like. Doesn't much bother me anymore. If you want to, if you want to listen, I'd like for you to listen, pay attention, give me eye contact. Let me try and help you. Then I'll give you a brief invitation, and we'll head for church yet. And they're so responsive, Pastor. I just love it, Brother. Amen. I love our First Baptist Church became my home church for 25 years. Dr. Hiles went to heaven. Dr. Hiles was my pastor for 25 years. He went to heaven, and Dr. Scott used to help me, used to counsel with him. And then Pastor Wilkerson came, and what a great job Pastor Wilkerson is doing. Love him so very much. Preaching was so much like home last night. And it was good to see Miss Colson and Miss Boardway and Mr. Colson, all the folks that were there when I was a college student. So this place has meant the world to me. And I love the college. I've never been ashamed of where I went to college at or where I graduated from. They always do this. Tally, he attended Hiles Anderson. I said, no, I graduated. Some graduate, you know, cum laude. I graduated, oh, Lord, amen. I graduated, no, Lord, ain't no way. But I did. You can write these down. I want to say, number one, time will never change the Word of God. Time will never change the Word of God. I speak to you on behalf of the KJV, not Good News, some modern men, or the NIV, but the King James Bible that was given to me. Hey, young folks, the Holy Bible must have been written by God and not of men. For no bad man would, if he could, set out to write a book that good. And no good man write a book you couldn't receive and write a book you couldn't believe. So the Holy Bible must have been written by God and not of men. Say amen. Amen. The Bible is never going to change. Pastor Wilkerson, I see, I see buildings on the property that were never, buildings where I used to park at when I was a student. And all the changes and the growth and the good things God has done for you. The old chapel became a library and then became a bowling alley. I'm not sure what it is now. And classrooms now are offices. And I see a great change that God has blessed here at the Hiles Anderson College. But things have not changed. Yet. God, the Word of God will never change. Amen. In 1984, Brother Hiles preached a sermon on the logic of the King James Bible. And it has never, ever, ever changed. And young folks, you get a Bible, men. Young men, you get that Bible. You put it under your arm. And you go preach and soul win and have a good time. You can believe that book. Amen. D.L. Moody laid it down and put a hat over it in downtown Chicago. And he ran around and going, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive. A crowd gathered up. He picked up that hat. It was the Word of God on it. He said, look out, folks, it's alive. Amen. Time will never change the Word of God. What time am I supposed to be done? One. 12 o'clock, right? Okay. Where'd you get that from? Young folks, time will never change the wages of sin. The lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin with finished, bringeth forth death. But the wages of sin is death. Sin will make you pay more than you want to pay. Ask King David, who buried his baby. It'll make you say more than you want to say. Ask Samson, who lost his life. It'll make you stay longer than you want to stay. Ask Lot, who overstayed his stay. Sin is not your friend. Sin's your enemy to come and ruin and wreck your life. Look, sin is not particular. Anybody come down the road, he'll take. Satan, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The wages of sin are, look, I'm an old man. I was a young man. Now I'm an old man. My young folks call me, I'm the aged pastor now. I've got up in age. But I never get used to our folks getting destroyed by sin. I have a young man in my life, grew up in church. Matter of fact, I've been in this chapel, Brother Ray, many years ago. They had a huge storm during youth conference. They brought us in here to settle down. That young man was in this chapel during that storm, during youth conference. Today he sits in prison for about a month ago. He shot and killed a man in my neighborhood when a drug deal gone bad. Was reared in my church. You cannot play with sin. I want to say number three. Let me hurry. Number three, the wickedness of this world will never change. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John 5:19. And you can remember this. This whole world's not getting better. It's up to you and I to make it better. Amen. Let me say number five. Our wonderful Savior will never change. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. How many say, preacher, my God is wonderful? Say amen. Amen. If you know that God is wonderful, he's been good to you and blessed you. Let's give God a hand and thank him for being a wonderful Savior to us. Amen. He is a wonderful, wonderful, great, and marvelous God. Amen. Let me give you an invitation if I can. This here is a home plate. It was given to me by Brother Bill McSpadden. Brother Bill, remember giving me that? And we had a youth conference called Get in the Game. And Brother Bill McSpadden gave me this home plate. I got this illustration recently, and I'm going to give it to you this morning and help you. And we'll go to church ed. Anybody know how wide this is? How wide? 17. Who said that? How do you know? You just know? Anybody know how wide a home plate is to little leaguers? 17 inches. Anybody know how wide the home plate is to T-ball? 17 inches. How wide it is to college? 17 inches. How wide it is to Major League Baseball? 17 inches. Now let me ask you a question. If a pitcher can't pitch 17 inches, where does he go? Back to the minors or back home? And if he can't throw it across 17 inches, let me tell you what never happens, though. This pitcher comes up to his coach and says, coach, look, I'm really a good guy, but I can't get that ball across 17 inches. Do you think you can change the width of that plate to 20 inches or 22 inches so I can throw strikes and stay in the major leagues? They never change it for him. They leave it at 17 inches. So suppose he says, Coach, I've got to have this job. Don't send me back to the minors. They never change. Since baseball started, home plate has been 17 inches. The Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Since I got saved, there's been a lot of changes in the world. There's been a lot of changes in the church. There's been a lot of changes in government. Matter of fact, our government, they're trying to decide right now on gender. They're trying to decide right now. They're trying to redefine the home. You know what a home is, don't you? A mom, a dad, and children. Young people, let me appeal to you today that the Word of God never changes. The way to heaven never changes. The wonderful Savior never changes. Here's what we need today. Men, you men, listen up. You ought to stick by the stuff and not change. You ought to grow in grace. You ought to believe that Bible. You ought to believe in soul winning. Ladies, the world is starved for good, godly women. You ought to decide today you're going to be a godly wife and a godly mother and a godly Christian. And from this day forward, you're not going to try to expand the plate over 17 inches. You're going to believe God wrote that book. And you're going to stick by the stuff. I know it's hard to believe, but what I was taught here, I believe today. What I got at Howard Anderson College 40 years ago, I still carry around with me today. I would say to you as men of God, young men, decide today to stick by the stuff. Decide today to love your college all the way. Decide today that God wrote that book. Decide today that the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. You ought to make a decision and say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to expand the plate. You know, how about this? If you expand it 20 inches, where do you stop at? Soon 22, soon 24, soon 26. And now you have no standards to live by. Keep a godly dress code. Boy, I'm out there, aren't I? Have some godly music. Decide to have a godly home. Ladies, marry well. It'll make a whole difference in you all eternity. Men, marry well. It'll make a difference. And every man and every young lady ought to decide today that I'm going to stick by what is right for the cause of Christ. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around.